There's no high sponsor for this episode. Please listen responsibly.
George. Hello, welcome back to High and Inside. I'm Mary Beth.
I'm Eric. I'm her husband.
Hi.
Which is how I always introduce myself now. I just scream, I'm her husband.
I'm her husband!
I'm her husband! And everyone's like, nobody, this is an Applebee's.
And I turn to him and I say, we shouldn't have even come here.
When was the last time you were in an Applebee's?
It was in Lancaster, South Carolina, and I would say it was within the last 5 years, because I think it was after we saw my dad in
Cats. Oh, that's right. I was about to say, like, I don't think I've been in an Applebee's in a decade, but I forgot about that.
We both were, because you had to go to a small enough town where it's the only place open after a certain
time. I haven't even
time.
Driven by one in a while.
True, I agree with that. I agree that you have not driven by one in a while.
Okay, well, why don't we get into our exciting baseball things for the week?
Sure. As you know, part of this endeavor is to convince you that baseball is good. My exciting baseball thing this week is that there was a record broken for a 4-game series for runs scored. I was going to ask you to guess, but I told you before we started.
I know, but I would have played the game.
What if I can't lie to the listeners like that?
Yes, you can.
I can, but I won't.
Fair. I would have.
It's 92 runs.
That's a lot of runs in a 4-game series.
Correct.
Which is, let's do quick math. How many runs a game? 94, 2,
it's
4, like 1, 24, 15?
15 a team.
15 a game.
15 a game.
Yeah.
Right.
So seven. So the average score was 8-7.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And who are these teams that did it?
The Padres and the Rockies.
The Pops and the Rocks.
The Pops. Pops, rocks it, drops it.
Were they in Colorado?
I think so.
Because I would imagine that.
Sure. Carries the ball.
Yeah, they get that extra, that high altitude or low altitude?
It's
the Rockies Mountains high altitude.
Yeah, it was like.
So the ball carries.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, it was at Coors Field. And not only was it just super high scoring, it was also just some kind of strange things happened during the whole series. At one point, there was a delay of game because a water line broke at Coors Field.
What?
And a giant, like, I would say 20 feet by 20 feet. Like, the ball boy was just sitting in a giant puddle.
So the water line was, like, under the field?
Yeah, and it just started bubbling up.
No one told the ball boy he could move?
I thought that was insane. Like, if you look up a video of this, he's just sitting in it, and his feet are, like, in the water. And I'm like, he should have moved.
That's dedication, baby.
Fernando Tatis Jr., who is a rookie for the Padres, had like a really impressive series. So it just kind of continues his, like, he's in the conversation for Rookie of the Year for sure. He became the only player in baseball this year to record hits in 7 consecutive at-bats.
He's the only player to have done that this year?
Yes.
Man, I feel like that's not. I guess I don't know how hard that would be. I feel like that seems like something someone would do.
7 at-bats is like two games in a row,
yeah.
Basically. That's
but I feel like someone
ask.
Could go like 5 for 5 and then go hit the
without
next.
Any walks between two.
Oh, okay.
Then, he got a hit in 7 consecutive at-bats.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, because if you got a walk, it would still count as at-bat, right?
Right. No. Yes. You know. Do walks count as the best? That was me. This is your thing.
It doesn't count towards your average.
Right.
But it counts for your
It's a plate appearance,
percentage.
Not a bat.
It's a plate appearance, not a bat. So
we
I
know
guess
what we're talking
he
about.
He could have had a walk in between.
Yeah. Regardless.
Regardless. Machado got ejected from one game, and it's kind of stirred up some controversy.
What did he do? Is he being a bad boy?
He was being a little bit of a bad boy. He, like, pushed the ump after the
Oh, that's
ump.
A real bad boy.
Yeah, the ump, like, called a strike that he did not like. He had some choice words for him. He immediately ejected him. He kind of shoved him and then, like, rocketed his bat against the backstop. Like,
ooh.
He was, like, very aggressive. It was not a good look.
Weird. He signed a big deal in the offseason, too, right?
He did. And neither he nor Bryce Harper are currently going to be in the, like, second round of voting for All-Star Game, I believe. If they are, they're like, wait, I don't know. I don't think either of them are.
Damn.
Which is kind of, there are a lot of people going like, oh, you just go somewhere and get paid and then sit, rest on your laurels, huh, boys?
I would absolutely do that.
Yeah.
How much did you guarantee me? I have no incentive to work anymore.
Yeah.
Friggin' Mark.
Yeah.
I got you.
Charlie Blackman broke an individual player record for a 4-game series by getting 15 hits.
Damn it.
Yeah. the Padres came back from a 6-run deficit in the ninth, which they had never done, and the Rockies had never, like, allowed that to happen.
Wow.
It was just, like, a weird series all around.
Yeah.
And I want to say the Padres came back, like, 2 games in a row by a 5-plus-run deficit, which they had never done.
Damn.
Yeah, so it's just kind of, like, everybody's kind of been talking about how the ball is really flying off of bats this year, which they were saying last year too, but it seems like this is even more drastic, and I think this series is a pretty big indicator of that.
That's awesome. I wish I would have like known that that was happening to like tune in.
Yeah.
I guess that's just me and not paying attention as much to league. I'm also like, we'll get to this, but I'm a little disengaged right now, but I would
say,
like to
both
see.
Both of us,
yeah.
Neither of us could have followed too much in the last week.
I wish I could have tracked that when it was going on. I feel like I hear about like good football games when they're going on, but I'm just more attuned to the league. So I think it's just my fault.
Yeah.
Any other EBTs?
There was something else. Max Scherzer broke his own nose by practicing bunts in batting practice.
Max Scherzer broke his own nose by practicing bunts in batting practice.
Correct.
Wow.
So they like tossed the ball at him. He barreled it, and the ball ricocheted back directly into his face.
Man.
The video of it is so wild because the ball really looks like it takes a completely ridiculous like angle off of the bat in directly into the middle of his face. And the guy who was tossing balls at him does nothing. Like, I honestly think that the guy who was tossing balls, like, kind of freaked out, and because he was like, oh no, this might be really bad, so he just kind of like stood there and froze.
I one time was throwing baseball with my friend as like a kid. We were like 6th or 7th grade, and I was like, here, I'll throw you a grounder. And I threw him a grounder, and to him, it just like hit a rock and bounced him and just hit him in the eye. And I was like, well, that's the end of that.
Your little brother sent us an adorable video recently of his daughter playing with a ball on a tee.
Yeah.
And he's saying, keep your eye on the ball, to try to get her to hit it off. And she slowly leans her face into the ball and knocks it off the tee.
I mean, from her perspective, she did what she was told.
I know.
And the ball is no longer on the tee. So, success?
I thought so, too.
Well, why don't we just get into it? Because we got something to talk about.
We got to unpack.
We got to put our clothes away. We got to fold socks and match socks. We have to starch our collars. I have never once starched a collar.
I think that's an old thing.
Is it like how everyone used to have like... I feel like all the food in like the 50s was like weird beef casseroles,
and
I
like
never wanted. Yeah, it's like a potato stew,
yeah.
And you're like, ugh.
I think that is also an old. I think starching collars goes directly hand in hand with that.
I just like picture the mom from the Wonder Years doing it.
Someone is delaying.
Yeah, because I'm mad.
You have every right to be mad.
I should be mad. So the Pirates and the Braves had another series, their last series of the year. And in the first game
of a four-game set,
and we can just spoil the fact that the Braves swept the Pirates.
Yes.
Which is bad enough.
Sure.
However, the manner in which it happened this is the first time I've been mad about something in baseball, I think, where I've just been like, well, fuck. Like, this is bullshit. In the second inning of the first game of the series, the starting pitcher, Joe Musgrove for the Pirates, who's been good all year, grazed, barely touched Josh, totally not a douchebag, Donaldson in the button of his jersey. And, as Josh Donaldson was walking to first base, they had like some sort of altercation.
I would describe it as Josh started taking off his quip while he was still standing at the, you know, his toothbrush.
Yeah.
While he was still standing at the plate, and he kind of was glaring at Musgrove.
Right.
Apparently there was like something that happened in the first series between the two where maybe he like struck out against him or something like that. I don't remember exactly. Someone said there was a little bit of tension built in. So he kind of stares him down, taking his, you know, stuff off.
Yeah.
And he starts trotting down the bag or trotting down to first base. And Musgrove took offense to the fact that he kind of glared him down like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh kind of looked back and saw that Musgrove was still kind of eyeing him down. Mm-hmm. And he said the immortal words, "What the F are you looking at, B?"
And so then they start approaching each other. The teams kind of clear and prevent them from getting to each other.
Diaz, the catcher for the Pirates, comes up to get between them. Donaldson forcefully shoves him to the ground.
Yeah,
and then that was kind of the last straw.
He like tossed him like a sack of potatoes. But there was like no real punches thrown. It was kind of just like a scuffle.
Yeah.
Honestly,
that shove of Diaz was like the most aggressive
thing that
happened.
Yeah. And honestly, it was kind of like, okay, cooler heads prevail. But then they threw out both Josh Donaldson and Joe Musgrove. And that is not an equal tossing.
Yes.
Because Josh was going to be up four more times and maybe field a handful of ground balls as a third baseman.
Yes.
The Pirates had no pitchers warmed up in the bullpen.
Yeah.
That was the guy that they were looking for to go five, six, seven innings.
Yeah.
So it was a big loss.
Yeah.
From there, we get shellacked because our bullpen is a sore spot for us right now. Because of that, the next few games, our bullpen's burnt, so we have to leave people in longer than we have to. You could make the argument, and I would make the argument, that part of us being something, Musgrove getting thrown out was a big factor in us getting swept.
I think it was, too.
Screwed us, and like,
but
so completely.
My only counter argument is to this is, was Donaldson being unreasonable? Yes, probably. Did Musgrove have to come off the mound, throw his hat down, and his glove down? No. That's what ultimately got him tossed.
I don't care.
I'm just
it's
saying,
bullshit.
Like, I'm just saying that he put himself into the situation as, like, Donaldson, if anything, was just screwing with him, and it worked.
Yeah, was goading him.
Yeah.
So now if I'm a baseball player, all I do is do that.
Sure.
All I do is do that.
Sure.
If the line is if a pitcher steps off a mound
but like I said, he threw his hat down and he threw his glove down.
Which are terrible, terrible
things
to have done.
That's what the umps cited, was that he aggressively threw his equipment
down. If I'm
down.
A baseball player, I'm doing that to every starter.
I can't
every
disagree
single
with you.
One.
I can't disagree
every single
with you.
One. Because it's such a big swing.
It really felt...
The line, Donaldson has to physically touch somebody. Musgrove has to leave a dirt circle and remove apparel. And those are somehow equal crimes? Like, regardless if it's the rule, it's a shitty rule.
Donaldson did also get a one-game suspension beyond that.
True.
So they didn't necessarily get the same...
True.
Punishment.
I mean, granted, you could argue that one game suspension for a position player is equal
sure.
to a pitcher being
Five.
Thrown out,
sure.
being in a game just because of how much they're going to factor into the game.
Right.
So the act of time that player lost is probably somewhat similar, but there's really no way to quantify that. But I was so pissed because we needed to make, I think I mentioned this on the last podcast, we needed to make hay in that series. We need to come away with a couple wins, and it totally boned us.
It seemingly was a big turning point for both teams because the Braves have only continued to kind of dominate since then. And really already, they came in pretty hot.
And luckily, the Pirates were like seven games back when that series started. As of the last time I looked, which I think was yesterday, they were maybe only eight games back. So the teams above them didn't make much hay either,
mm-hmm.
which was nice. But I was like ready for that to... So they're like... We're able to tread water and weather it a little bit, and they're horribly injured right now. They have like three starting pitchers out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Talion still, Trevor Williams, and Jordan Lyles. So they're pitching like Steve Brault and
who has pitched well.
Sometimes.
This month he's pitched pretty well.
And like Nick Kingham and Max Keller, who who got shellacked in his second start and gave up four today, and we ended up losing 5-4.
Yeah, only two earned though. He's like he's improving.
So it was just we were so so devoid of starting pitchers, and we have one guy who's reliable, and he gets tossed. Here's the thing that it's made that's really frustrating about it on like a more meta level is because I'm not as into baseball and emotional about it, I can root for your team. I see the Braves now as bad guys.
And I think that's really unfair.
Why?
Because I still don't think that we have an unlikable team.
Before we get to that, just simply that if this was the Reds and the Braves and the Reds did that to the Braves, the next time you played the Reds, you'd be like, fuck the Reds. Yeah, you'd be like, oh, the Reds can go to hell.
That's probably fair.
And that's kind of how I feel with the Braves.
Also, we can all agree that it was an unreasonable call made by the umpires. Mm-hmm. So how is that completely on the Braves?
Because that's the way in which I'm a bad sports fan. Like, it's just like, fuck the Braves.
As long as you're willing to admit
like
this.
If you benefit off of I think it's natural to be to kind of turn on teams that benefit off of shitty calls. I mean, look at the Patriots in the NFL and the Tuck rule. Total bullshit, right?
I hate the Cardinals because of the infield fly incident of the wild card game, right? Of like 2012. 14 somewhere in there because they got a terrible call when we had momentum and then they won. And I was like, well, F them forever. They keep winning. They never like get held up. But I think the Cardinals did have that kind of like reputation at the time. They really like kept it. They kept being a good team, even though in my eyes, they like didn't have any business being good.
But so I think right now I'm sour on the Braves, and I'm not gonna hold that wound open. That's not what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna hold it open and pour salt into it.
Salt on myself and just scream because I'm hurting myself. I think I'm just gonna have a grudge for a bit, and I'm not gonna want to see John. I'm going to wish that no matter what the scenario, Donaldson strikes out or like swings and misses so hard that he like spins himself around and he tosses the bat up in the air and it lands on his head. Like some sort of like comic, like Tom and Jerry episode.
Well,
like he falls down, but into a hole. And
if it makes you feel any better, he's played really, really well since then.
Good. So. Great. I love how those people get rewarded for their bullshit actions.
I honestly think that part of that happening was because he was frustrated because he wasn't playing well.
Cool.
So he like got hot headed and had to be like, okay, you idiot, calm down.
Yeah.
And then came back and has played much better.
Well, I dislike him. And but I think an interesting thing to talk about is it seems like the natural arc of any team is a team is bad, they get good players, they start to get really good, people jump on the bandwagon, and then at some point, everyone turns on them, and except for their own fans, and they have to like, they've won too much, or they're too good, or they're rich getting richer. Now, the Braves have done this. They've signed Donaldson to a one-year contract in this offseason, and they recently signed Dallas Keuchel to also a one-year contract. So that's buying players. That's hired guns. That's what that is. And the Braves have a lot of people to like. There's no reason to hate Freddie. Acuna is one of the most exciting players in the league. Albies is fun. Markakis is just kind of like a professional.
Absolute.
Dansby's and Culberson are cute as hell.
They're like faces of franchise guys. And they're both playing very well.
Yeah. Austin Riley seems like the old guard baseball. Just
prototypical.
I feel, where's he from? Is he like, was he born of corn? Like,
you would think so. Yeah. Like, he seems like he, you know, mended like, fences as a child.
Yeah, like somebody hit
Paul Bunyan birthed him out of his forehead.
Somebody hit a wet baseball into a cornfield and never found it, and he just like sprouted
he
up.
He stumbled out. I'm not positive where he's from, actually.
But the way I appreciate teams and the things that I dislike in teams, I see the Braves starting to do it. And I'm wondering how you would handle them turning, because it seems like everyone's with the Braves right now. They seem like to be, like, no one's really ragging on the Braves more so than normal.
Not this Braves team. I agree with you.
Yeah. But if they were to say they were to win a World Series in the next year or two and continue that and keep buying players and buying free agents, the remorse, the resentment is going to build for them, right?
I agree.
And I think as a fan, at some point, you just have to kind of embrace it.
I loved the 2016 Cubs. Yeah. I watched a lot of Cubs games. I was so excited when they won the World Series. I don't like them now.
Yeah.
I don't like some of the same players that I did like at the time.
Yeah.
But there are some guys that I was like, I like the Cubs, but I don't know how I feel about you.
Yeah.
But I think that you invite that a little by getting really freaking good.
I mean, that's the thing. It's ultimately, it sounds like it's a bad thing, but it means that you've had success.
Right.
So it's what you should want.
And that's like, part of the reason why I clarified, like, I don't think people are against this current Braves team.
Yeah.
But do you think non-Braves fans liked the Braves when they won like 14 pennants in a row?
No.
Absolutely.
And they
not.
Had like, they had the three pitchers, yeah, and it was just like, well, fuck this.
They were unstoppable. Yeah. I was reading some stuff that was comparing, especially this month of Braves baseball so far, to the 2003 Braves,
mm-hmm,
which had Javi Lopez, Chipper Jones, Andrew Jones, and I believe Fred McGriff was, mm-hmm, still on the team. And the team now is like doing things that they hadn't, that the team has not done since that year.
Right.
So they're kind of like hearkening back to, and it was like, right, one of McCann's first seasons. And it's like, it's been about that long since they were really good.
And when you beat up and take a series in a shady way.
Yeah.
The other thing we didn't mention is the second game of the series was called.
Oh, that's right.
was called because of rain
that
when the Braves were up.
Sucks.
So we didn't even finish that.
That does suck.
So that was
suck.
Like.
I didn't think about that. Musgrove got a start in the last game of the series, and we still beat him.
Yeah.
So that also, I honestly, in my heart of hearts, was like, we already took three. He can have a good start. Like, just give it back. And then I didn't have it at all.
But when you beat up on the lowly Pirates who never win anything, who only get to sniff wild card play-in games, it doesn't, it's not endearing.
Talk to every other team in your division.
It's not endearing.
Yeah.
We've done well against the Cardinals this year. We got our asses handed to us by Milwaukee. I keep thinking we haven't played the Cubs, but I think I'm wrong about that. But I don't know. I am going to have a hard time rooting for you, rooting for the team, your team, when my team's not involved, because I just got soured a little bit. And that's why I think, like, if I didn't care about baseball and I didn't follow this, I would have never even like known that happened. Or if you told me about it, I would have been like, "Well, that's crazy." I wouldn't have had an emotional response to it. I think I would have had that like hometown territorial,
sure,
like, "Oh, that's kind of bullshit, man." But
right,
but I would have got over it immediately. But because I was invested and because I wanted this, I was like, "This, we need to pick up some wins here." And then it went so completely wrong.
It's not fun.
It's not a fun thing to have to like to excuse or to go like, oh, to just brush under the bridge.
Yeah, if this is intended to be a bit of an experiment in fandom for you, we really didn't set you up for success by, we literally watched the game on delay. So we were like, we were watching a game that but was over by a little bit,
yeah,
into it.
And I was like, fucking this,
and
I don't want to,
like,
watch
angry,
this.
And I had been like waiting all day to watch it and or listen to it or whatever. And it was just like, and it was the first game of a four effing game series. Like it was absolutely like comedy of errors.
Yeah.
Like it was just the worst way any
yeah,
of that
it was like
happened.
A yeah, it was stupid. It was like, okay, let's sit down and have some good natured,
I mean,
like shit talk. And then it like got serious and stupid, and it was just like, that's why fandom is bad. This kind of fandom sucks.
Acuña hit his first regular season grand slam ever.
Cool.
And I like didn't get to be happy about it.
Yeah.
It sucked.
Well, I didn't get to be happy about anything after the first inning.
I mean, I'm not saying that, like, you didn't let me be happy about it. I'm saying, like, I didn't want my team to have success in that, like,
because
lame
it was
way.
Because it was at the expense of my team.
Right.
It's what's so fickle about fandom.
Regardless, though, I don't wish for other teams or players to, like, get injured or have something dumb happen. Like, I want to just win. Like, outright, I want to just win.
Yeah. Sure, but it's just hard. It was the worst thing that could have happened. I can't imagine. If it was just, they just, like, beat the crap out of us.
Yeah.
And just, and Musgrove had to be taken out of the game because you were up 12-0 or whatever.
Yeah.
That would have been that would have just been like, like, that's fair and square. But because it was that kind of, it was so frustrating. I don't even want to relive it anymore.
If it makes you feel any better, I think the Braves ate a bit of shit today.
Yeah.
DeGrom started against them for the Mets, who's, you know, the former Cy Young winner. And before the game, reportedly, they had, like, a big team meeting. And they were like, hey, we suck. Stop sucking so much. And then they put an absolute hurt on us.
Yeah. The Pirates haven't really recovered. Yeah. So,
I mean, like you said, if you have three guys in your starting rotation all injured,
yeah,
that in and of itself
is bad, and then
practically impossible to overcome.
And then when Atlanta frat boy goads your one arm,
if Pittsburgh frat boy can't,
he's not a frat boy. If anything, Joe Musgrove is Pittsburgh Dumbo. His ears,
he
are like 6 feet wide,
big satellites.
Yeah, it's
all right. Well,
it's kind of gross.
Can't put his feather down, and
I don't think I've ever seen Dumbo.
He has a feather that he holds in his trunk, and it helps him fly.
I thought that was like Yankee Doodle Dandy. He had a feather in his cap.
That's literally macaroni style hats are with a feather in.
Oh, I don't know any of these things.
And called it macaroni, hence the.
But if that's what it's called, why is that the lyric?
Apparently, he was the one who did it first. I don't know.
Good old baseball talk.
We're all Yankee Doodle Dandies. So, as I mentioned before, there was a four-game series where 92 runs were scored. There were a combined 113 hits. I would posit that's possibly too many runs.
Sure.
There was one game that the final score was like 14-13.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
It starts to not even make sense anymore.
Right. And as a Rockies fan, watching your team
put
give
up 13.
A back-to-back 5-6 run leads, yikes.
Yeah.
So I am interested in picking your brain about a time when you experienced too much of a good thing.
When you posited this question first, it was like, well, let's talk about drinking too much. But you were here for this. The first time you met my family was in Disney World. We went to Disney for my mom's 60th birthday.
Uh-huh.
And you flew out a day later because of your work to meet my family. Now, the day you flew in, we had all gone to Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
And we had started doing the tour of all the countries. Mm-hmm. And we were having a drink, an alcoholic drink, at every country. So by the time you got there and I met you at the place we were staying, I was hammered.
All of you were.
I was really, but I met you at the place we were staying.
Yeah,
and then
the resort,
then we went back to Epcot, and I was just crushed, hammered.
Yeah.
And I was very excited for you to meet everybody and for everyone to meet you. You had met my parents, but not my brothers and their wives. I think they were all married at that point.
Yeah, they were.
And so you met my family. We kept drinking. The good times were rolling. We had more. Did you just realize where I'm going?
I did.
We had more of this.
I was like, I thought that was fun. Like, no one got out of, oh,
right. Right. So we kept on drinking. Everyone hit it off. We're all having a blast. And I was just like, wow.
Me and both of the other sister-in-laws were like talking crap about, yeah, like comparing notes and going, yeah, like, yeah, they all take their pants off the second they walk through the door. All of those like silly moments that we get to share.
It was just so much joy, and we were just eating and drinking. We were overloaded on good things.
I had a couple of the best beers I've ever had at the U.S.'s like station in Epcot. Maybe not the best. That might be a stretch. One of them was absolutely one of the most interesting beers I've ever drank.
Yeah, that pepper beer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had like hot peppers in it.
But it was great. So everything was going so well that obviously something needed to go wrong. Now, I didn't do this to myself. You and my younger brother did this to me. As we were leaving Epcot and going to go back to the resort, we were walking past the Mission to Mars ride.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, let's go on it. And I was like, oh, I've been having some motion sickness. As I get older, I can't handle. I used to love roller coasters, but now they kind of make me sick and it really bums me out.
Yeah.
And but I was like, I'm too drunk and I'm too good of a mood. We're doing this.
And me
I'm in
and
the
AJ
right mode.
Both were like, come on.
Yeah. So we go. So the three of us go do it. And so some backstory on this ride, I believe when they were like early on in its run, somebody died on it. Like, it was too intense and like something happened.
Like a centrifugal force kind of thing.
Yeah. So we get in line. It's the end of the night, so there's not really much of a line. We get right to the front. We're going to get right on. The park attendant there asked us how intense we want the ride to be. And I was like, and before I could even like, my drunk brain could even realize what she said, you both in unison were like, most intense. And I was like, oh no. So we get in the ride. It's one of the rides where you just like sit in a little pod and you have a screen and the pod just moves in accordance with what's happening on the screen. And the first thing that happens is it tilts you backwards. So like you're about to lift off in a rocket because that's what's happening. And the moment the chairs moved a millimeter, I went, I am going to throw up.
Oh no!
I knew it. I was like, I think I'm sick. It's, I will be vomiting soon. And I just said, okay, we're going to make it through this ride. This ride's not that long. It can't be that long. It's a matter of minutes. Just maintain. I had to control what I was looking at so I wouldn't vomit. And like, I couldn't even enjoy the ride and look at the screen.
But we found out after that that maybe if you had just like kept one point and not looked around so much, you wouldn't have gotten so dizzy.
Sure. If I had any control of my faculties at that point and hadn't drank like 12 drinks.
Sure. Fair.
Miraculously, I make it through the ride.
Proud of you.
We get out of the ride. I unbuckle. I run to the hallway where there's a trash can and just start vomiting. So that was probably too much of a good thing. P.S. The next day, I'm reeling from having thrown up. We are in MGM Studios, and there's the Rock and Roller Coaster, which is the Aerosmith-themed roller coaster, which was made for my 12-year-old self. I really wanted to go on that, but was afraid of throwing up. I said, screw it. We're just here. We're going to do it. I did it once, and I didn't feel sick at all. I had a blast, so we did it again. And I was like, that was great. Didn't feel bad at all. We got on the shuttle to go back to the resort. And I was like, this shuttle is making me sick. We got off at where our resort was. We walked into the parking lot, and I vomited all over my shoes.
My story is also about drinking. Because of course it is. Because you hear the phrase, too much of a good thing. And you think, alcohol.
Yeah.
Or at least the two of us, let's just do.
Mm-hmm.
So my freshman year of college, I liked the girls in my hall. They were very kind, but I hadn't really like found any like party crew in them, if that makes sense. But one day I like fatefully met a bunch of the girls who lived on the first floor of my building and like hit it off with them like that. And they were like a lot more like outgoing and like bombastic. And I was like, okay, all right, this is where the party needs to be. So, the, you know, very culturally and historically significant holiday, Cinco de Mayo.
Sure.
We felt like we had to, you know, celebrate and acknowledge Mexico's independence.
I think that's right.
I think so, too. And so, of course, we got a bunch of Jose Cuervo and a lot of Coronas and drank all of them. And the night itself was like fun until it wasn't, because that's usually how it goes. There was like someone liked someone, but that person liked someone else.
Ooh.
And there was crying and like this, somebody made out with somebody and blah, blah, you know, classic freshman year drama.
Cinco
BS.
De Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo bullshit. I passed out downstairs, not in my room. I like somebody just set me up on a futon that they had laid out on the floor. Woke up the next morning with what I believe might have been my first hangover. And I was like, uh-oh, I have to go upstairs so that I could take a shower and vomit and get to my matinee performance of a play I was in.
And how'd that performance go?
Fine. I like immediately called my stage manager because I was going to be late.
Yeah.
And went up and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't feel good.
Right.
Played that whole card, went upstairs. I think I tried to keep a piece of bread down and I was like in the shower and had to like leave the shower to vomit and got back in the shower. I got to the theater.
I just say puke in the shower.
It was college. It was like four people were sharing it. Like, that's not fair. Well, I'm a nicer sweet mate than you are.
Yep.
So I get to the theater. I'm late for my call time, which is a huge, like, huge no-no.
Yeah.
Huge, huge. And I was still a freshman. And this was, like, the show I was the most excited about being in my freshman year. So I was mortified, but I was also trying to play it up. Like, I was like, oh, I don't know why I'm so sick.
Yeah.
Anyone in their right
mind. And everyone like kept looking at the calendar.
Would have been like, it's May 6th, you moron. Yeah. Like, we know you're hungover.
You still had a sombrero on.
Yeah. I'm like, like I pull something out of my bag and that like somehow plays and I don't know why. So I get there. The first scene or two I'm in of the show are my character is like very high energy.
Yeah.
So that part of it was tough. Good news. Second half of the show got pretty down. So I was able to just kind of lean into my misery and use it. 'Cause of course I still felt awful.
And you probably sold it so well that they were like, whoa, she's into like some Meisner shit.
Legitimately, I saw someone in the dining hall the week after that weekend of the show. And they were like, oh, my God, I saw you in the show this weekend. It was so good. And of course, I was like, oh, when'd you come? And she was like, Sunday. And I was like, that's insane. And there were a few years there where I could not drink Jose Cuervo.
Yeah. Well, at least you know you can perform hungover.
I wouldn't be the first. It wouldn't be the last is really the moral of the story here. Eric, I could never get too much of the good thing that is the Inside Scoop.
I'm going to stick with another music recommendation this week. I've been playing Springsteen's new album, Western Stars, pretty much on repeat. I have a soft spot for Springsteen, always have, and probably always will. This is like one of his Nebraska, Ghost of Tom Joe, Devils and Dust albums where it's more pared down, less rock and roll. The E Street Band isn't really credited, or it's more like folksy and pensive. And I think he does that really well. Sometimes I think he does that better than he does straight up rock and roll.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And the other thing about this album, it's called Western Stars. It's very, like, California-themed. Mm. And having just moved here, it just, like, I wanted to like it anyway.
Sure.
And it's great that I, like, happened to.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's influenced by the fact that we're just here, and I just want to be like in a California mood and listen to things that feel like California.
Sure.
But
say California one more time.
California. That's why I've been rewatching the old Saturday morning sitcom California Dreams. But it's really it's just classic Boss. It's there's like storytelling and like weird like folksy characters. There's like a guy who was like whole song about a guy who is only ever in like one movie with John Wayne.
Oh,
and it's like
funny.
From that guy's perspective, like it's about like, yeah, it's just great. He's kind of singular in this, in the way that he like sings about and waxes poetic about like Americana and like the highs and lows of it. And I think that when he engages with the lows, he's sometimes even more compelling. And he just,
oh, that's interesting,
because he has such a gruff voice, and he's so like, it just works. It's just great stuff.
I may have to kind of try to like actually sit down with it, because from what I have heard peripherally, it all sounds kind of samey to me.
I wouldn't disagree with that. There's a lot of similar palettes of sounds. Like there's some organs, maybe an accordion or two, a lot of some horns that are on it. It's kind of the production's not super sparse, but I think it just works with what he's going for the album. It's kind of like,
you know, it's a mood album. It's a mood album.
Yeah,
know?
And it feels kind of like the beigey kind of golden haze.
Yeah,
and it kind of all like washes. I just think it really works.
Maybe
as
I should give it a listen with that in mind.
There's good songs on it, and I'm sure I'll be playing it, and you'll hear it that way. But, you know, this little underground artist, Bruce Springsteen,
yeah,
check
him
out.
There.
Yeah.
Nobody else is gonna hear about
him.
He's
70 now, I think.
Yeah, I would.
70 years old.
Yeah. The Boss got aged.
That's as good of a way to go out as I could.
We ever have had.
You goddamn right. No, it'd be better if we cursed God the way out. That's clearly the button. Let's sit in this and just drag it out.
Yeah, keep monologuing.
Here's what's wrong with the world today.